We recognize your faces, but we don't know your name, so bear with us. And I'm happy my wife is with me. Barb, if you'll stand up. This is Barb, and we are a couple of your missionaries. We serve in different places of the world. When you first took us on, we were with an organization called HCJB, World Radio. That's Heralding Christ Jesus Blessings, first radio station, a missionary radio station in the world, and located in Quito, Ecuador. And from there, we broadcast to the world. And we've come and told you stories about that before, and it's been a really fun time for us. But then HCJB Global, under my presidency, decided to move out and become a global ministry with radio stations in other places. And so during the 20 years that I was president, we were able to set up shop in different parts of the world. We now have about 600 radio stations around the world. And we are called Reach Beyond. And the reason we took the name Reach Beyond is because we're trying to reach beyond where our radio signal went before. We're trying to reach people that have never heard the gospel. And there are some people out there that have never heard the gospel. So if you're here today visiting and you came to hear a sermon from the preacher, I'm sorry, you're getting a missionary today. And we're going to talk about what God is doing around the world. And I thought we'd start with that so that we can kind of tell you that make sure you know that God is still doing what he does all over the world. And I want to tell you a few things that he's doing. You probably won't hear these things on your evening news, but I want to share with you that God is alive and well and doing amazing things. Our theme today is Take It to the World, because we're going to talk about the whole world. It's bigger than us, and God is doing amazing things out there. So let's talk about Take It to the World. Let's see. I'm going to leave it there for a moment because I want to. Let me see. What have I here? Let's see. Did I get the wrong? Oh, no. Here we are. Okay. Let's start with Iran. Iran, we know a lot about negative things in Iran. But I want to tell you some good things. In fact, if you go on Google, good old Google, and type in revival in Iran. Can you imagine those words put together? Revival in Iran. You're going to hear some amazing stories about Iran. There's a church in every village of Iran. Those churches are growing at about 20% a year in population, people getting saved. In fact, in Iran, the Christians say, we don't even have to go out and find people. People are looking for us so they can find out who Jesus is. If you're looking for Jesus and happen to come to the church today, you know exactly what I'm talking about. People are tired of the hopelessness of life, the uncertainty of the future. And Jesus has a lot of promises about how he'll care for us. People are looking for that. You'll read about a 22-year-old woman who had an encounter with Christ. She's sharing her faith. She's never been to Bible school. She got her Bible for the first time about a year ago. She's never been in a church this size. Her church would have about 20 people in it and would meet about 2 in the morning. She leads 15 people a day to Christ on an average. That's what Christ will do to you. When you've been looking for him and you find him, it's pretty exciting. Here's a church in Iran. This is what they look like. This is a worship service. A lot of time in prayer, a lot of time praying for one another, and a lot of time just reading the scriptures. They've never done that before. So when you pray and look at the world and you hear anything in the news about Iran, you just praise God for what he's doing in Iran. Barb and I spend a lot of time in Indonesia, and everybody in Indonesia carries one of these cards. This is called an ID card, a registration card. You have to have it with you. You can be stopped anytime, anywhere, and they ask for your papers. You better have this card. On this card is a little space right there that I've circled. You probably can't read it from where you are, but it tells you what your religion is. Indonesia is the largest Muslim country in the world. So if you're born in Indonesia, that's automatically filled in Islam, because that's what you are, probably. Last year, and you won't hear this on CNN, last year, 2 million people, 2 million people went into the government and changed the word in that circle from Islam to Christian. Usually that gets a amen or something. I mean, that's pretty cool. 2 million. If you break it down, that's one every 20 seconds of the day for a whole year. God is at work, folks. He's doing astounding things around the world. These are our friends in India. They work with us. India doesn't allow any private radio. We have no radio stations in India. Someday we will. God's going to open that door. But at this point, he doesn't allow that. So we beam the signal in from Australia, and we have a very strong signal into India. And then these people, these two people who speak 21 languages between them, they're not Americans. That's why they speak 21 languages. These two people went into the government and said, you know, you guys celebrate Christmas every year. You put up Christmas lights. Do you have any idea what Christmas is? They had no idea. They didn't. One time I was in India and I was talking to about 100 girls at risk in a big building in the dump, and we were having a party for them. We were feeding them and we were giving them gifts. These people had put it together, and I got to speak, and I asked, did you know that Christmas was a birthday party? They didn't know that. Not one girl, 100 girls. Have you ever heard the name Jesus? Not one of the 100 had ever heard that name. So the government said, no, we don't know what Christmas is. Well, could we tell the story? Well, what's the story? They told the story, and the government says, that's a marvelous story. So last Christmas, we had the day before, the day of Christmas, and the day after Christmas, government radio station to 1.3 billion people telling them the story of Christmas. Isn't that amazing? God did that. How? It's a Hindu country. Why would they allow that? Well, God made that happen. Some of their responses were, thank you for the radio program. I really wanted to know what Christmas means. I thought it was just another God was born day, and they have lots of gods, so it wasn't a big deal. I want to know more about the promise your God made to forgive all the wrong things I have done. What a great follow-up that was. Here's another great opportunity for follow-up. This came into him. Does believing in Jesus free one from birth and rebirth? Remember, Indians get reborn and reborn and reborn trying to get it right. How do you know? They said. Another one. I have decided to buy a statue of Jesus and keep it with my other gods. Whoa. Send me some prayers like I have for my other gods. What an opportunity. Wide open door. We're working with some refugees in an area of Bangladesh, 800,000. You perhaps have heard of these people. We don't say much about it because we'd rather do it than talk about it. And we don't want to talk about it here and maybe bring some limitation to what we can do there. But that's our guy there in front with all these refugee kids. Look at these little kids, homeless kids, living in a camp. They were each given a sheet of plastic when they got there. That's supposed to keep the rain off of them. They get one meal a day. That meal's very limited. Some of their parents are there. Some of their parents haven't gotten there yet. Maybe will never get there. They're separated. It's a tragic story. So we went in last month and delivered 10,000 blankets to these kids. And then last week, the government of Bangladesh said to our partner working with us in there, would you guys come in and put in a medical clinic? Because we do that, radio medical clinics. Would you put in a medical, do you know the ministry you can have through a medical clinic? It's limitless. You can talk about Jesus all you want to in a medical clinic. God did that. We could never have made that happen, but God did it. So pray for us. As you read about these people, pray for us as we set up a medical clinic in that part of the world. And then, of course, China. What am I going to say about China? Everything you've heard about China is true. The pastors are in jail and the pastors are out preaching. The churches are big. The churches are underground. People have Bibles. People have never seen a Bible. I mean, everything you hear about China is true. But had you heard this? You know that church in Iran I was telling you about? Do you know who is in Iran ministering and starting all those churches? You know who those pastors are? Chinese Christians. One-way tickets, going to Iran as taxi drivers, maids, whatever they have to do to get into Iran so that they can tell people about Jesus, so they can take it to the world. We have some amazing people out there doing amazing things, and God is blessing them. They're seeing miracles. And I come back to America, and I sit with Christians. It's astounding. I've sat with Christians who have never seen a prayer answered. I've sat with Christians who have read Scripture, and it's never come alive for them. I've sat with Christians who have never shared their faith with anybody, and they've been Christians for years. They have never seen Christ move into the life of another person, which is an awesome thing to watch, because it happens in the eyes. You see the eyes just come alive and light up. Christ is at home now. I know Christians that have never, ever seen that. But you go out there to people that have never been in a church this size and never perhaps even held their own Bible, and they talk about this stuff all the time. So I want to give you a little quiz, okay? You need to get your, what color is that paper? Orange? I like orange. Okay, we're going to go with orange. I'm going to give you a little quiz, and I invite you to just, it's a simple quiz. And it's got only four questions, and it's a yes or no answer. There are no maybes, okay? No maybes. Yes or no. Question number one. If you and I were to sit down and have a cup of coffee together, could you tell me four things about Jesus? Yes or no. No maybe. Yes or no. Might have to rehearse them in your mind, but write it down so you remember the answer. Could you tell me four things about Jesus? Question number two. At that same time, while we're sitting there, could you tell me two things that the Bible says? Could you tell me two things that the Bible says? Okay, yes or no, not maybe. You might rehearse that in your mind. Three, when you pray, does God listen? Yes or no? Not maybe. Yes or no? And four, do you think you're going to go to heaven? Yes or no? Not maybe. That's the one that most Christians want to say maybe to. Yes or no? That's a simple quiz, isn't it? Got your answers? Okay, let's correct our paper, and you're going to correct your own paper. So you're not going to give it to anybody else. This is what the world looks like today. Every one of those colors represent a billion people. So you can see that if you took North America, Central America, South America, and Australia, all the same color, that would be a billion people. a billion people. If you took, well, that's supposed to be gray, Africa. That's separate from Russia, so don't put those together. If you took Africa, which is a gray, that would be a billion people. Now, pick any two colors you want to. You could take Europe and Central and the Middle East, or you could take Russia and Central Asia, or you could take China or India. Take any two colors you want to. 2 billion people would answer that first question automatically, no. There are 2 billion people out there who have never heard about Jesus Christ. They don't know anything about him. They couldn't tell you one thing about him. Or maybe they might say, yeah, I've heard that he's a guy that lived a long time ago, but I don't know anything about him. There are 2 billion people that have no idea what Jesus did for them out there. You could tell me 4 things. So if you said yes, can I just challenge you to keep doing that? Enhance your spectrum of what you know. Learn more about Jesus. Read the Gospels and find out what he did. Tell the story over and over. Make sure your children and grandchildren know all the stories you know. In fact, tell them so many times that they begin to tell you back the story. Drill them with that story. In fact, think of somebody right now, okay, are you with me? Think of somebody right now who needs to know what you know about Jesus. Okay, somebody came to your mind. I didn't do that. The devil certainly wouldn't tell you somebody who needs to know what you know about Jesus. So that only leaves one person that's talking to you. That's God. He just gave you an assignment. And maybe your assignment would be something like this. Hey, I don't know what this is all about, but this guy in church was talking about telling somebody what we know about Jesus, and I wrote down 4 things that I know about Jesus, and so I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to tell you what I know about Jesus, and you probably already know these things, but I mean, weasel out all you want to, but do it. Do it. For some reason, God put that person on your mind. The other thing I would ask you to do, if you said yes, is to say his name 4 times a day. Just put it in your conversation. Whoa, what a day Jesus gave us. Just put it in your conversation, because some people think Jesus is only a cuss word. That's the only time they hear it. I've met people that didn't know he was a person. They just thought it was a cuss word. Didn't know what it was. So let people know. Try it 4 times a day. If you don't know, if you said, no, I can't tell you anything about Jesus, then just look down your pew, the row you're sitting in. Look for somebody that looks like they know about Jesus. And afterwards, after the service, don't go away. Tap them on the shoulder and say, would you tell me what you know about Jesus? I couldn't put anything down, but if you don't know anything about Jesus, just grab something. Before you leave today, don't say, I'll do it later. Do it now. Question number 2. I'm sure we've talked about the 1040 window before. This window that goes across that Middle East, North Africa span. Two-thirds of the people on earth live inside that window. The poorest of the poor. Very few missionaries inside that window, but you have some in there. I saw on your board out there. That's good for you. That window is dominated by religions. The dark blue would be Islam. The orange would be Buddhist. Green would be Hindu. Yellow would be communist. And those religions don't want Christians in there. So obviously those people haven't seen Bibles. Two-thirds of the people on earth have a hard time finding a Bible, getting a hold of a Bible. So if you said yes, good for you. And I'm really pleased to see this memory program you have going on. If you're not involved in the memory program, then can I challenge you to do something really simple and doable? If you said yes, I could tell you two things about the Bible, but you're not in the memory program here at the church, then would you memorize one verse this year? You pick it. Might be a verse you hear the pastors share on Sunday. Memorize one verse. I know you're kind of scoffing me, but it'd be one more verse than you memorized last year. Thy word have I hid in my heart, David said, so that I won't offend you, God. If you said no, then just reach out right now and take that Bible out of the pew in front of you. Take it. You don't even have to steal it. You don't have to sneak it out. Just put it in your hand and walk out with it. And I'm going to tell you to do something that my seminary profs would be horrified if they heard me say this. But I'm old enough that I really don't care. When you get home, set that Bible down and just say these words, God, show me what you want me to know. That's all you say. Let the Bible fall open and start reading. You have to read from the page one all the way through. You don't have to do that. You can, but you don't have to. Just let it fall open. That's a living document. And it will change your life. It's good. It's a good document. Third question. This is the part of the world that my wife and I serve in. We love this part of the world. It's called Asia. 51% of the population of Earth is inside that circle. So there's more people in that circle than outside the circle. There's more Hindus in that circle than outside the circle. There's more Buddhists in that circle than outside the circle. There's more Muslims in that circle than outside the circle. There's more communists in that circle than outside the circle. Very limited gospel. Very, very limited. And none of them have the confidence that when they pray, God hears them. They all think that you have to go to a certain place at a certain time, get in a certain position, face a certain direction, ring a certain bell, burn a certain incense, try to get God's attention, and maybe God, oh, maybe not that God, oh, then I got to talk to that God. Well, no, I'm going to talk. I mean, they are really frustrated. And if you said yes to that question, when you pray, you talk to God, that means that in the grocery store or out here in the lobby or on the campus where you are or at your work, when somebody comes with bad news of a doctor's appointment or of a children that are going haywire or of some disaster that's happened, you can put your hand out on their shoulder. This is what you understand. And take them with you when you say, Father, into the very presence of the living God. Christian, you have power that nobody else has. Access to the living God with just this hand. Do it. Do it. Pray for people. If you said no to that, I would encourage you to call the church and say, would somebody pray with me? You don't have to pray. They'll do the praying. But praying is just talking to God. You can say yes to that and know that when you pray, God hears you. It's a great privilege we have. And question number four, heaven. Most of the people inside that circle think they're going to come back and try again to get it right. And if you had to say no to heaven, then you need to take care of this today. You need to take care of it today. Don't leave here until you can say, yes, I know I'm going to heaven. Because that's just plain scary. You don't want the option of not going to heaven. Now, we read John chapter 4 because we want to talk about taking it to the world. And I know there are some Christians here who have never shared their faith with anybody. That's just probability. I don't know you that well, but I know there are some who have this wonderful confidence of yes, 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 but they've never shared that with anyone. Take it to the world means take what you know about Jesus. There'll be some questions you can't answer. Great, that gives you an opportunity to learn, but take what you know about the Bible. Take what you know about prayer. Take what you know about heaven. Take what you know about those things to your world where you live. Start with your neighbors and with the people in your family and where you work. And maybe God will even ask you in some way to go on a short-term ministry and go over and teach it to somebody else. Or maybe even Barb and I started out as a short-term ministry. We went for 2 years, took three kids to the mission field for 2 years and never came home. It is amazing to get out there and see God do something through your life. I mean, who would have thought God could use us? But he is. And he wants to use you where you are. It may be in the mission field or it may be right here at home, but he wants to work. He wants to take it to the world through you. So John chapter 4 shows us how Jesus did it. Tonight we're going to talk about how he taught it to his disciples in that same chapter. Some powerful stuff, some fun stuff. So let's get back into John chapter 4. John chapter 4 starts with the fact, well, I wanted to give you the countries that are inside that circle. By the way, if you've never seen Jesus at the well, I don't know how Google got this. They were there. I'm just so impressed with Google. So unless you wonder what Jesus looks like, that's him. There he is. Amazing. You heard the story. Jesus is going from Jerusalem to Galilee. It's the middle of the day and he stops at a well. The disciples have gone into the city to get some food. That was the way that worked. And a woman comes to the well and Jesus has this conversation with her. By the way, the woman's life was changed. And we'll talk more about that this evening. Verse 4 has this amazing little statement that Jesus had to go through Samaria. He didn't have to go through Samaria. In fact, his normal route was up the Jordan Valley. That's how you went from Jerusalem to Galilee. You went down in the cool of the Jordan Valley where the water and the trees are and where there's lots of little communities where you can get food. You can get water right out of the Jordan. And you didn't have to go through Samaria, which is up high and it's rocky and there aren't any trees. It's not shady. And the Samaritans didn't like the Jews, so they weren't very nice to them. And if you went in a village and asked for food and you were a Jew, they didn't want to give you any. So the had doesn't make any sense here. Except that there was a woman in a village called Sychar who needed to know what you know about Jesus. So Jesus had to go. And he had to go because he knew that in 2018 we were going to be talking about this. And he wanted this story for us. He had to go. So the first thing we learn about Jesus is necessity number one, go where you are led. Now let's just back up about 10 minutes. About 10 minutes ago, I asked you to think of somebody who needed to know what you knew about Jesus. And I pointed out that I didn't know you, so I can't make a suggestion. The devil's never going to tell you somebody that needs to know things about Jesus. He will never encourage you to share that. So that had to be God that put that person's picture in your mind. It might be a name, it might be a phone call, it might be a relative, it might be a face, but all of you got something. Then you started editing. And you begin to decide whether that was a good idea or not. What I'm talking about is Jesus had to go through the village to see that woman. God will impress you at times. Go talk to your neighbor. Just ring their doorbell. Say, how you doing? Who knows? Maybe they just got really bad news. And you can say to them, can I pray for you? Who knows? Maybe they don't know anybody that would pray for them. They don't know even how to pray, if you believe that, but it's probably true. Do what I suggest you do. You and I aren't very good at that. We try to tell God what we want to do according to our time scale, because invariably what he tells us to do is not convenient and timely. So lesson number one we learned from Jesus, he followed the Lord's leading, God's leading. He went to Sychar to talk to this woman. I encourage you to start there. When God tells you to do something, put a little money, put a little extra money in the offering. You got a 10 and a 20, you reach for the 10, something inside you says, oh, why don't you give the 20? And then you immediately start editing because you need that 20. For something else. Who would tell you to put the 20 in? If you think the devil will, you're in trouble. Devil will never tempt you to do something that will build God's kingdom. Do an act of kindness. Carry that person's bag. Who would tell you to do that? The devil? No. Learn to hear God's voice. If you're going to see your prayers answered, if you're going to see people's lives changed, if you're going to see God work through you, you got to do it his way. He's not on your schedule. Oh, I got 15 minutes. Okay, God, what do you got? It doesn't work that way. So that's the first necessity we learn. Then we learn that Jesus refused to judge. The woman tried to suck him in to judgment. How is it that you, being a Jewish man, would ask a Samaritan woman to give you water? I mean, all of the components are there. A man can't talk to a woman. A Jew can't talk to a Samaritan. And she's probably thinking, and if you knew anything about me, I'm a worldly woman. I've had five husbands, which is against all the rules. I'm even living with a guy now that isn't my husband. That's why I come to the well at noon in the middle of the hot day. I don't come in the morning when all the other women are here because they're all talking about me. They pull their daughters away from me because they don't want me to influence them. I mean, I'm an evil person. She had all of these. Jesus refused to judge. We judge. In fact, that's part of our editing process. Oh, that person would be interested. That person would not be interested. Oh, I need to talk to that one, but no, I don't want to talk to that one. We judge. Even in those names, you decided who was worthy of your information and who was not. We got to get away from the judging. Number three, Jesus offered her what she needed. Look at the passage here. Jesus opens the conversation with this wonderful statement about, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, verse 10, and he would have given you living water. Now, she tried to change the subject over and over again. She wanted to talk about the foundation of the well. She wanted to talk about how great Jacob was. She wanted to talk about whether to worship on the mountain or down here. She wanted to talk about all kinds of things. Jesus just kept to the story, kept on focus, kept going the right direction. And her attitude changed. Look at her attitude. I find this fascinating. Verse 9, she calls him a Jew. Verse 11, she calls him sir, so she's kind of raised her attitude toward him a little bit. Where's the prophet part down here? Verse 19, she says, well, maybe you're a religious guy, a prophet. And then finally, down in verse 25, she says, you know, I know the Messiah's coming. We've been praying for that for 400 years, and you kind of act like a Messiah. And that's when Jesus said, that's who I am. First time he ever said that. He didn't say it on the temple steps. He didn't say it to his little close circle of disciples. He said it to the woman at the well. You have a message to deliver, folks, to take it to the world. You got to stay focused with that. People will try to get you to talk about politics, try to get you to talk about the problems of the church, try to get you to talk about this and that and this and that. Talk about Jesus. Talk about Jesus. I love to tell the story. Let that be your byline. Talk about Jesus. I never know who to close a service with. I got so many good friends who are seeing miracles. I'm envious of them. People who see Jesus work every day out of their life and at night come home and tell stories of encounters with Jesus and what he did today, and they're amazing people. That's who's behind me. Amazing people. So let me just tell you about one guy. Let's go with the guy right in the middle. This man right here in the brown jacket. His name is Samuel Lamb. Have you heard that name before? If we were in China, every hand would go up. Samuel Lamb was put in prison as a pastor back in the 50s. He got the job of cleaning out the cesspools in a village. Every day he'd wade into the sewage of the village and take out the debris so they could use the sewage for their rice fields. 28 years he did that. Well, Samuel, what did you do when you did that? Oh, he said, no, none of the guards wanted to be around because it really stunk. So he said, I had pretty much freedom, so I sang songs every day. Well, what did you sing? Well, he said, I learned a hymn from the missionaries when they came to China, and I knew the words to that, so I sang, I come to the garden alone every day. Isn't that amazing? Prayed for his church. Came out of the church, came out of the cesspool in 1978 and came to back to his church and said, how are we doing? They said, oh, we've kept the church. We're safe. We meet kind of secret. He said, no, this isn't what we're all about. We got to get this gospel to the rest of China. This man behind me right there started what's called the House Church Movement of China. Maybe 180 million believers are credited to that guy. 180 million. Every time I think I'm doing well, I think of Samuel Lamb. And how are you doing? God has put somebody on your heart, somebody who needs to know what you know about Jesus. What are you going to do about that? Same thing that we've done always, just think about it, or is it time? Let's pray together. Lord, it bothers us that so many people out there could not answer any of our questions with a yes. There are people that live on our streets that don't know anything about you. There are people that are in the grocery stores beside us that could not tell us two things that the Bible says. There are people going through really hard times who don't know how to pray. And there are people that are totally lost and have no hope of heaven. And here we have all of these things. Forgive us for keeping them secret. And Lord, it's been a simple thing. You've put one person in our mind's eye, one person. But that's a great starting point, because that's where we're going to see you do your thing. When we obey, do what you tell us to do. Don't try to judge for ourselves, and just tell them about Jesus. We're going to see something amazing happen. And I don't know about you, but I want to pray for you as I close this service. If that's where you are, you've not been very faithful in sharing your faith. You're sitting there right now saying, man, forgive me, Lord. I've got all this wealth of information I haven't shared, and I want to share, and you've put somebody on my mind, and I'm a little scared. I'm a little scared, a little nervous, a little afraid. But I want to do it. Would you help me? I'd love to pray for you. Anybody like that, just wave at me. Anybody like that? Yep, yep, yep. Okay. You all know it is. Some of you are doing really great, but others, this is the first time for you. I'm proud of you. Good for you. And God's cheering, because things are going to be different in your life because of this. Anybody else want to join? Oh, yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. Good, good, good. Yes, okay. Glad we waited. Father, you've seen these hands. We're not going to drag this out, because they're either going to do it or not do it. But Lord, I pray that you would bless them to no end. Just give them the courage to get started, to pick up the phone or to write that email or go by and see the person. Just give them the courage to start, and then give them the blessing of seeing you finish. And Lord, just bless them in no way, in amazing ways. Father, thank you for entrusting the gospel to us. Help us to take it to the world. In Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen.